ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Good morning and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This is a three-part episode. It's kind of unique for me, because my intros actually took 45 minutes. I have three coaches on. They are part of Lincoln Football Academy. They are also three coaches with Solar Soccer Club. Now, as you guys listen to their intros are long and short at the same time. Some of them are short and some of them are long. But the message they convey is very important. So I hope you guys listen to what they have to say. And get ready for part one. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My name is Hugo Salcedo. I'm from Mexico originally. I grew up there until I was 12 years old. I've been living basically half of my life in Mexico and half of my life here. Since I can remember, I've been just involved in football and soccer. Since I was young, my family has just been in love with it. So from my cousins to my uncles, and we just go to stadiums. And since I was young, I'm originally from Torreón, and it's a city of the north of Mexico, and that's where I started playing playing football at the club Santos Laguna. I was in the youth academy there, and then we just started moving from different cities. I've always been My family's always been on the move. Until whenever I was 12 years old, we moved to Dallas, and from there, just it was a little bit tough coming to a city that just wasn't in love with football as much as I was. But since I was, man, there's I think in another interview, I was telling them that even at 6 years old, I remember just asking my parents, "Hey, I need to stay home because the 2002 World Cup was happening, the Korea in Japan, so the games were at 4 a.m. So I needed to, I was asking my parents not to go to school because it would start at 6-ish, and I wanted to watch the games. I wanted to watch Mexico play, and I wanted to watch other countries play. So at 6 years old, since then I've been in love. So coming over here to the United States, it was a little bit tough finding academies here that had the same love that I had. But I played high school here in Allen. I went to it was my junior and senior year were a little bit rough. I just There's different pathways that I could have chosen differently. So at 18 years old, there was an opportunity with a coach that I had. I didn't end up going to college to play soccer, but coach invited me to start coaching at this it was called SEC, European Soccer School. I would coach Tony. Now, I believe what's the club name that he has? Do you remember the club name, Anthony, that he has now?
I know it's European Soccer School is still around. It might be the same thing.
Yeah, maybe the same thing. But well, I started with him, gave me the opportunity, just as an intern. I was getting the under 15s, under 16s, and at the end, he gave me a U8 team, which was very tough for me at that time because I had no idea how to coach. Then I went to UNT, the University of North Texas. There, I met a couple of great coaches, Coach Daniel Dobson and Coach Matt, which later introduced me to Coach Anthony. From there, I got the opportunity to work with the NCAA D1 women's team. I worked with them for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. Won a conference USA title with them, and after that, met Coach Anthony. He presented an amazing project, which was very small club Lincoln. And I was coaching back at BBV back then, and it was a really, really good project that he presented to me. And from there, man, it's just been a grind with Lincoln, and now we decided, Coach Anthony, the director, decided to make a move into solar, which now we believe it was the best pathway for all of our players and all of our coaches, just because of the competitive environment that we needed. And now we're here. Now we're here, giving that push, that extra push, developing all the players possible, and creating that mentality that we at Lincoln still have, because it's not an academy, but with different projects. But now we're doing it both at Lincoln and at Solar with all of our teams.
My name is Raul Fierro. I was born in Juarez, Chihuahua, back in 1996, right? So, born there. When I was about 7 years old, I moved to El Paso, Texas, which is on the other side of the border. Again, just like Coach Hugo and probably most coaches out there, from the first, my first toy was a soccer ball, right? Like that's my dad came up to the hospital. He went. He checked. He made sure I was a male, and the first thing he bought me was a soccer ball. So I remember that soccer ball when I got to about 5 years old. That soccer ball was completely destroyed. No panels outside, just the hole, the camera in the middle, right? But that was one of the best memories I have, just from being with my dad, just taking that ball. And I remember just seeing that ball deteriorate little by little, right? And whenever I was about, 13, 14, I started playing with a team. 14. I started playing with a team in Mexico on the third division, right? So it was the third division in Mexico. So I was playing against players who were, 18, 19, 20 years old. And of course, the first season that I was there, I didn't play that much. Then the second season, when I was 15, that's when I actually started playing a lot more games. We made it to playoffs. I was a starter, and I was able to get a lot of minutes there. From there, graduated high school when I was 17, so a little earlier just because of the month that I was born in. From there, I went to the University of Dayton. That's a Division I school over there in Ohio. When I was there, I liked the intensity. It was a shock for me, because the type of soccer that you play in the South is not the same as how they play in the North. So when I went over there to players who were, a whole foot, taller than me, 6'6", 6'5" center backs, and 6'1" midfielders, and I was used to 5'10" midfielders. I was used to 6 foot center backs, right? So that was one of the first lessons that soccer taught, like one of the first lessons that soccer taught me after youth soccer, right? Just the difference in how they would see the game compared to us. Then after University of Dayton, that had already during my tenure as a youth player with Soles FC in Juarez in the third division. I was also playing with an FC Dallas affiliate academy in El Paso. And I would go and play with FC Dallas Academy every month, every 2, 3 months, and actually, I came to about 3 or 4 summer, the little, like ID camps or things that they have, and they invite some players from El Paso, and we go over there, and they take a look at us, tournaments and all that other stuff, right? So when I went to the University of Dayton, I went there for the first semester. But since I wasn't having too much success, and the school, even though I was having a it was covering pretty much most of what I had to pay, I was still having to pay a lot, right? The school was like $50,000. They were giving me about 48, no, 38. So I still had to pay $12,000 a year, like about $6,000 a semester. So the second semester, I made a decision to go to Dallas because an opportunity arose where I can go back to Dallas and actually stay with the academy, and be with them and all that, right? So I made the decision to move out, transfer to a community college in Dallas, and I started, training there with the academy, had a couple trainings with the first team, and I believe that decision that I made was the one that took me this direction, that took me to the direction of higher level playing, higher level exposure to higher level coaches and all that other stuff, right? The first coach that I had was Molina. He's not an easy coach, but it was a good experience. The whole semester that I was there, it was amazing. The times that I was able to train with the first team, of course, it was. They would just put you there like as a mannequin, or just use you in certain way. But I didn't care. I didn't care. If you wanted me to go and shag some balls, I'll go and go get some balls and take them to the players, right? Like, I didn't care what I had to do. I just wanted to be there. Then from there, I went back to college, to University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, which is in Edinburgh. Now that was a little bit of a harsher experience, because the first week that I was there, they broke into my apartment and they stole our TV, computer, a lot of other stuff, right? So right from the start, my experience there wasn't the best, right? I was struggling with just the way that the school was running the like the security or another stuff, right? After a year there, I made a decision to just move back to Dallas. Honestly, just moved around a lot because of soccer, right? So went back to Dallas and I stayed here for a year, playing for Richardson College, right? So every summer I would come back. FC Dallas invites you to the summer college program. And every summer I would go and be there training with the first team, and all that other stuff, right? So that summer that I had come back, I was speaking to one of the coaches there at FC Dallas, who's also a coach at Richland. Spoke to him about my situation. Ended up working out where I was able to come to Dallas, stay here for a year, play with Richland College since I had redshirted with Dayton. And when I was there, I spent I probably that was the year that I spent almost every day of the spring season, just working on myself, right? Waking up at 6 a.m., go to the gym, take a an hour and a half, 2 hour training, and then go back home and then go to work and all that other stuff, right? Go to school and all that. When I made the decision to do that, it was because I'd made the decision to take control over what was going on around me, right? So since I had moved from Dayton to UTRGV to Richland, I was feeling in a point where I didn't know if I wanted to keep playing soccer, right? I had to make a decision whether I wanted to go and pursue an academic career or, playing soccer, right? I remember just even after we won the national championship with Richland, I remember just sitting at a hotel just trying to think, should I be doing this? Should I still be playing soccer, or should I just go and do something with college, get a good degree, get a good job, all that other stuff. Thankfully, I made the decision to keep going. It was a long time to think about, but when I made the decision to keep going, then we went back to Dallas, spent the whole spring season there, the whole summer, same thing with the first team. And then there I got the opportunity to go play for a Division II school in Kansas, called Fort Hays State University. I was there for 2 years, and the second year that I was there, we made it all the way to the national semifinal, and we lost in PKs. I scored mine, right? So I can point right. But we lost in PKs, and after that, that summer, right before I had gone to my last college season, I had the best summer with the first team. It was the best of the 5 summers that I was there with the first team. That last summer was the best one, because every summer they usually use more of like the players that they think are, the best that they have in that group, right? So the players that they think they thought were the best were participating more in training with the first team, and the others were more like on the side, touching the ball, while they needed players, and then you would just go. Sometimes you would just stand in the middle, but it was whatever, right? But that last summer, it was the best summer, right? Every time I would go with the first team, they were using me the whole time. Every what's it called? Every scrimmage that we would play within the team, I was playing with them too. So I was next to Marco Barrios, I was next to Matt Hedges, I was next to Mauro Diaz, I was next to Maxi Urruti, like players who show you how the game should be played, right? Coaches like Jose Mabazan, like what's the coach, his name, oh, Oscar Pareja, Josema's brother, Fabian, Coach Fabian, yes, right. So, some very good coaches, very good players that I was around with, right? Learning a lot from them. Just being next to players of that level makes you understand, their first touches, their passes, their how they open their body, how they see the game before the ball is played to them. And that's something that I tried to absorb as much as I could, right? I had some of the top center backs. I had another center back there next to me. He was a captain of the Honduran national team, Minor Figueroa, right? Another amazing person who just by watching him, I learned a lot, right? So after we finished that summer, went to college for my last season, had a really good season, right? I have spoken a little bit with a coach over here in FC Dallas, whose name is Marco Ferrucci, right? I was talking to see if there's any future within FC Dallas. Unfortunately, that was another lesson that I learned after youth soccer, is that, you know, it's a cutthroat business and you have to be lucky. You know, it's just you being good and being there and working on yourself and getting better. It's also, you have to have a little bit of luck, right? Because the decision doesn't fall with only one person, with only the coach, right? It has to be the director, the sporting director, the academy director, the first team coach. So there's a lot of people who have to say yes before there's even an opportunity for you to have that, you know, professional contract and all that, right? So when my last season of college ended, the coach that had been there for the last five summers, he decided that season, right before I graduated, that was going to be his last season, right? So he made the announcement in November that he was going to be moving on to Tijuana. So all of a sudden, every single coach that I had for the past five summers, you know, they left, right? So I come back to FC Dallas. They have the new team, the second team with North Texas. The first team is, you know, it was a long shot from the beginning, right? But first team was already off the table, right? Just because all the coaches that I already knew had left, right? So I didn't have no connections there with the first team. But with the second team, I remember I spoke to the second team coach, asked him if he would let me be there for a while, just while I try to find another team somewhere else. That's where I met Anthony, right? That's where I met Anthony. I remember seeing Anthony when they told me he was 25 years old. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. He looked like a 35-year-old guy, gray hairs, and then the way he acted, it was like, oh, this guy has five kids at least, right? Mature, you know, responsible, all that other stuff, and I was like, this guy must, you know, he must have like a whole family, a wife, everything, right? But no, it ended up being just Anthony, right? It was a great experience there too. I feel like I should have left earlier, but I didn't. I stayed there the whole season. But since FC Dallas, again, this is something that also, you know, it teaches you a lot, because it's not just you playing good, but it's just a lot of other things, right? Like the first team had like three center backs that could come down and play with the second team. The second team had already three center backs signed, and the second team could bring up to two or three center backs who were at the level from the academy to come play. So when I got there, there was like three other center backs that we were just training there because there was no spots. There was no spots, right? Too many players. And that's why I started learning other stuff too of how a professional team is run. How the coaches meet before practice, after practice, all that other stuff. How they talk about different things. But I know that halfway through the season, Anthony, I know he would say this. He will say this in his part, right? But when Anthony was there, he decided to become a coach, right? Halfway through the season, he made the decision that, you know, he was just gonna be the coach. He joined the coaching staff with North Texas, and he was able to learn the backside, right? What's it called, the behind the scenes, right? I was able to learn from outside, learn how they prepare for every practice, how they would put every session, the structure of every session, from like warm up to activation to technical drills and you know, passing drills, things like that, little small sided reduced spaces, right? And then, you know, the big picture, what are we gonna do, how are we gonna play out the back and all that other stuff, right? So for me, that experience was what made me the coach that I am now. Without that experience, I'm sure I wouldn't be, at least not now, I wouldn't be as confident, and you know, for me, I believe I'm I'm not delusional. I don't think I'm the best coach in Dallas, right? But I believe that the coaches that Anthony has there with Soler in Colleyville are coaches who take the sport seriously, and that they have that resume and the ambition, the character, the discipline to keep getting better as coaches, right? One of the things that I've learned from Anthony too is just that how he's able to find those people who can prove that, you know, who can be that coach, right? Who can grow as a long term coach, and be a good coach too, right, to the kids and all that, right? So after North Texas, I went to a couple of trials after, with my agent, took me to like, four or five different teams, but it wasn't working out. Unfortunately, pay in the US for lower league, players is really bad. Some players are paid even like 600, 400 a month, which, you know, it's ridiculous, right? But you know, that's the point where soccer is right now in the US. Hopefully in the future, lower league players can start making a little better, and even first team players, maybe they can start you know, making more money too here in the US. But okay, so whenever I decided to just hang the boots after those five trials where, you know, contracts were offered, but there was no reason for me to choose that contract whenever I could, you know, be over here in Dallas and, you know, make another path for myself. So I made the decision to just, you know, stop playing and hang the boots. I came back to Dallas, right? I remember when I came back to Dallas, I was thinking, okay, I need to get a job, right? And on my way to apply for the job, there was something in me that was pulling me away. I remember driving to this restaurant because I was going to work there as a server while I found a job that I can use my degree with, right? Finance, right? So I was driving to the place, and I remember Anthony was coaching before with North Texas. He was coaching some privates, right? So I was driving over there. I was like, I don't want to work for someone else. I don't want to work in a, I mean, I don't want to work in an environment like a restaurant anymore, right? It's heavy, it's hectic, like it's something that I don't like doing. I mean, I like doing, but it's just because, you know, there was something that I would find. I was trying to find something more purposeful, right? So I made the decision to call Anthony, ask him if I can, you know, basically be his student, you know, just go up to him and be there next to him and learn from him, learn his style and all that other stuff. So Anthony told me the address, and for the next 2-3 months from that point on, I was driving from Frisco all the way to Colleyville, just to go and be there in his sessions, be there next to him in his training, his camps, all that other stuff. That allowed me to create my company that I named Superbia. So I created my company to private training, right? And thankfully Anthony gave me the tools that I needed to be able to start it, right? And when I started coaching private, little by little, I started having a better understanding of how to communicate with the player. How to let him know different things, how to understand why he's doing certain things wrong and how to change them, right? And all things that I learned while I was next to Anthony and the things that I was learning as I was going through, helped my company just, you know, grow from just a small 2-3-4 player company to having, you know, 60-70 players. And then while I was doing that, Anthony, I was still helping Anthony with some teams, but just to help him out because he was letting me use his field, and I was helping him out with practicing and coaching his U19s or U17s at that point. Also, no, Anthony, it was U17s. So I was helping them coach that, learning a little more. Once I got to the point where you know, I felt ready. I didn't even ask Anthony for the team, but Anthony came up to me, asked me if I was interested in actually taking care of a team. And that was the first team I ever had, which was last summer, right? That was the first head coach position that I've had, right? Anthony came up to me, asked me if I was interested in doing it. I said yes, of course, absolutely. Of course, at first I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, should I start it? Should I not? Right? But I made the decision. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's time, right? It's time. It was a lot of lessons the first season. A lot of lessons the first season, just to understand how different is being an assistant to being a head coach, right? The way that the players look at you, the way that players expect you to know stuff, and to, you know, and if you don't know your stuff, they'll eat you alive. It's like that, right? So I remember the first season was a little rough, right? But then this season, Anthony came up to us, told us that he was thinking about, you know, merging with Solar. Right from the start, I believe it was a great idea, right? He was gonna make his club join Solar, and we were gonna grow that Solar club in Colleyville. We were gonna grow it there with him and all that, and it was amazing from the start. It was, you know, thinking about, oh, whoa, yeah, you know, being a coach in an institution like Solar is just like, you know, a good piece of employment in your resume, right? And also the fact that we were gonna be able to provide those players with a higher level competition, right? From the beginning, you know, Anthony always wanted to run his club professionally, and now that, you know, we have this platform Solar that attracts higher level players, we're able to create a club there in Colleyville that not only develops players but also develops character, right? Develops tools that they're gonna need to be able to succeed, right? Because when I was their age, there was a lot of things that I didn't know, and I wish someone was there to tell me those things before I embarked in that journey to try and make it professional, right? Because some people tell you that it's hard to make it professional, but you don't really understand what that hard means, right? It is hard to make it professional, but it's even harder to stay on top of your game the whole time, right? A lot of these players don't understand that the professional soccer is every day is a fight for the next paycheck, right? Because if in one season you don't perform, the next season you're not gonna be there, right? And it's just like that for everyone. So trying to teach these kids the way like our failures as players help us teach the players better, right? So they don't make the same mistakes that we made. And I feel like I can say that because I know Hugo feels the same way. I know Anthony feels the same way, because our failures are the ones that teach us the best lessons, right? Unfortunately, you know, some of those failures, we don't want to have those failures, but we need to have those failures. And those failures taught me a lot in terms of how to guide that player towards the goal that he has, right? Right now I'm the head coach of the U19s and the U17s, and yeah, just going day by day, trying to get better and grow within the organization here.
Anthony?
I grew up in England, in London, and then we moved to some different parts in England. Basically, 11 years old, we moved to DFW. My mom married an American guy, and we moved to here. Similar to Hugo, I struggled with the soccer atmosphere of, like, in England, it was obsessed with soccer, and here it wasn't really, especially, like, I'm 30, so especially 19 years ago, it was even more less soccer than it is now. Now there's a bigger soccer scene than it was 20 years ago. So I kind of struggled with that in the beginning. And then I went back to England for a year because I didn't like it. And then I came back. Anyway, all in all, about 13 or 14 years old, I was full-time in DFW. I played for Dallas Texans. That was my first team that I played for, my first select team. From there, I went to DFW Tornadoes, which was back then. They're not around anymore, but DFW Tornadoes. And then I did 1 year of, well, actually, I did one going into college, I did one state cup with Solar Red back in the day with Solka's 93 team. And obviously I went to Birdville High School in my high school career, which is kind of cool because we trained near there. And then at 18, I basically went to 1 year of college in Division II in New Mexico, which was Eastern New Mexico. And I played with one of the guys that went to high school with me. His name was Tyler. I went with him. And after I went there, what is it, in July. So by February, March, the coach came up to me and said, hey, I want to make you the captain for next year going to our school. And I told him, I was like, you know what, man, like, I really appreciate that. And like, I really do. But I'm just going to go to England because I don't want to be in college soccer anymore. So I basically just decided, hey, I don't want to be in college because I didn't believe it was going to help me and try to become a professional in playing 3 months out of the year. So I basically left everything at 19. My mom, I remember she told me, she was like, because they basically offered me, I had like an 85% scholarship, but they offered me a full ride for the next 3 years. And I said, I remember my mom telling me, she said, if you go right now, then you're responsible to pay for your college. Don't expect me to pay for it because you're throwing away a full ride. So I said, okay, whatever. Yeah, whatever. So at 19, I went to England. I went to the first club I went to was Tooting & Mitcham, they were a seventh division at the time. They were in seventh division in England. And that was a youth club that I used to play for when I was like 7, 8 years old. My dad just took me up there and we said, hey, we got a guy. I used to play as a youth player. I played in America, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I got a tryout and I made the reserve team. So I went from college, you know, D2 to seventh division reserve team. And basically from the reserve team, and then I went to the first team within about 2 months. So I did well on the reserve team. Then I moved up to the first team. And then 6 months later, I went to the sixth division. I did the same thing, reserve team to first team. And then 6 months later, I did the same thing, fifth division, reserve team to first team. So that for me was the most important year and a half of my life, showing me what men's football is, not youth soccer. And even college is like, it's easy because they're all students. Whereas I was playing with milkmen who, if they didn't win on the weekend, their family didn't eat. Like it was ruthless. So it was kind of like men's football to where this playing out of the back crap, none that didn't happen down there. It was just long ball. And it was just, you got to learn to, you know, win tackles, big metal studs in England weather. Like it was just ruthless. Like, you know, you get your ankles destroyed. The coach is telling you to F off and just get up and stop being a little girl. Like it's ruthless down there. So it was like, but it taught me a lot about how to play different styles of soccer. And that's kind of what Fierro said about how he learned the style from south to north. I learned a tremendous style from youth, kind of pretty playing out the back to going to men when playing out the back isn't even an option. Like they just want you to go long to your big number nine. So, and the fans, actually more than anything, the fans in England, they don't like possession. So the 7th, 6th, 5th, all the lower leagues, nowadays it's kind of changing since Guardiola arrived, but the lower leagues, it is very much like the fans don't allow you to play possession. They want long balls and they want direct play because they want to see the ball in the opposition area. So if I remember when I first got there, I was trying to play. And then when I started going there, I remember there was a few fans. And you know, you get maybe 400 or 500 loyal fans that have been supporting that club for 100 years in their family. And they were just saying, you know, who do you think you are playing out the back? Just freaking kick it up down the line. Like they literally just wanted you to hit long ball down the channels. So my game changed in just playing channel balls. So as a midfielder, as a center mid, there was a lot of games when I was just like, we used to call it yo-yo men, which was the ball would go from center back to forward, center back to forward, center back to forward. And then the midfielder never touches it. Your job is when you get the only way you touch the ball is if you win the second ball. And then you win the ball back and then hook it over the defensive line. So there was no playing out the back. It was just unbelievable. Anyway, that taught me a lot of how hard football was because the individual players were really good. Like, and there was especially a lot of wingers who were really good in those levels. But in all that 18 months, that's when a guy from Gibraltar reached out to me on Twitter to come and tell me to play for, he actually told me to play for Europa, which was Lincoln's rival in Gibraltar. And anyway, so I started looking up. I was like, so I spoke to my dad, because my dad lives in London. And I said, I was living with my dad, and I said, should I move to Gibraltar? What do you think? Because at this time, they had just gotten into UEFA. They got into UEFA about 3 months prior to them reaching out to me. So I decided, I called my grandmother, and I decided to move to Gibraltar to play. And so I live with my grandmother. And I went to a club called Manchester 62. They were like founded in 1962. It was a bunch of Gibraltarian people that went to Man United, and they loved Man United, so they decided to bring the name Manchester 62 to Gibraltar, and the club was founded in 1962. Anyways, I played there for like 5 months, 6 months, and I did really well in the league, and then Lincoln kind of picked me up. So the time I was in Manchester, the Gibraltar league was all locals, and so we played. So the second half of the season was from January to May. And there was hardly any foreigners. And then the next year, we started back in August. And out of like the 11 teams, there was maybe three local players per team. They were all foreigners. So basically, with the influx of UEFA, the whole team had just, we started getting Brazilians, Argentinians, Peru, like you just name it, Spain, Portugal, Italy, everyone started coming, because if you won the league, you play Champions League qualifiers. And if you come second, you play Europa League qualifiers. So all these people started flooding into our league. And anyways, I went there for five, I stayed there for 4 years in Lincoln. We won three league titles. We lost one by 1 point. And then we won all the cups. We won a lot of stuff. Lincoln's the most dominant team. And then that was really, when I played at Lincoln, in Gibraltar, that was kind of the first, when I got there at 21 years old to when I was 25, that was when all those foreigners came in. That was when I truly like improved a lot as a player in the first year, because I was playing with guys who were from different countries. So my game really improved a lot. So from when I was 19, I left the US to play in like men's football in lower leagues. And then I went to see the top level kind of. We had guys that played in La Liga for 10 years come to play for Lincoln. We had guys playing second division Spain, first division Greece. We had all these like old kind of players that have been playing top level football for 10 years that no one now wants to give them contracts in the top professional league. So they come to Gibraltar, because Gibraltar, you get more money than third division in Spain. So they said, well, I'm going to go and play in Gibraltar. And more than that, on top of it, in Spain, in Portugal, in these countries, they give you a contract. But then if the team isn't performing, they just stop paying you. So the Spanish court law is like, if someone doesn't pay you, it could take you 5 years to get a yes on that, for them to be able to pay your money. So there's a lot of like the justice system you think is bad in the US, it freaking sucks in Spain. So what they would basically do is they would say, you know what, let's go to Gibraltar, because we know we're going to get paid. Because Gibraltar is part of Britain, and they're more like they're legal like the US. So anyway, that made us get a lot of good players. And for myself, it was amazing to see how, like, you know, our legendary players like Lee Cassiaro and Roy and all these guys, that when we got into UEFA, they were 30 years old, and their whole life had been flipped from amateur to semi-pro within like a few months, to where these guys, like when Fierro's point about me being old with kids, they were old with kids. So they had two kids, 30 years old, with a wife who was used to a certain life, training twice a week for soccer, to now becoming 5 days a week, going to work 9 to 5, then training 7 to 9 every day, and then playing games on weekends, and then leaving because you got an international game to go to Greece for 10 days, and then going to Malta for 10 days, and going to all these places. And then the wives were quickly like, hey, what the heck's going on here? Like, now my husband's completely gone at 30 years old. So that was a really big jump for, like, the culture of people. So which the only way we had to do that because we had to compete. And so it was a big transitional shift, and only about three or four of the players actually lasted 10 years, because the other ones, it's very difficult for you to ask a 30-year-old to change your whole life in one day. So the UEFA was brilliant for the long-term project, but for the people that were currently playing, their whole life would change. And I remember, like, I was telling Matt Colvin this the other day at the girls' training. When we played, when Germany won the World Cup in 2014, we played them the game after. So, and they did the lineups, and it was amazing how our 11 and their 11 was, you know, Boateng, Schweinsteiger, all these guys. And our 11 was carpenter, construction worker, military defense policeman, accountant. And then there was only like two or three of us who were full-time, like soccer was their only job. We call it professional, but it wasn't really professional. It was like our only income was football, which technically you're a professional, but you weren't making a lot of money. So there was like me, there was Liam, there was a few other, there was maybe one other guy and the rest of them. And I'll show you one day, like, it was amazing, the picture. It was in the Sun newspaper, which is like the big newspaper in England. And the two 11s, it was unbelievable, construction worker and all this stuff. And then we lost 4-0 away to Germany. And then the next day in all the newspapers, it was saying Gibraltar is better than Brazil, because Brazil lost 7-1 and we lost 4-0. And then they were talking about how Brazil had Neymar and all these guys, and we had construction workers and military defense policemen, and we got a better result than they did against Germany. So it was like that kind of helped us also get on the map. And over time, so then basically at 25, I realized that I wouldn't be able to, like, my professionalism of training came too late for me. So I really got good when I was like 21 to 24, but that was too late to catch on to the other guys. So I basically felt that I had maximized my potential as a player by the time I was 25 years old. And if I would have had the training that now, like the Gibraltar youth national team players, they're already playing, you know, U15, U17, U19, U21 qualifiers. I got thrown into playing senior at 21 years old. So I got thrown into playing the best of the best players at 21. And even though it was amazing for, like, me as a player, really we were so outmatched because we had never had development. Like, our development was Division II, university of 3 months, and then me playing with men's football twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday trainings, with half of the team that used to, you know, drink beer after the game. Like, that was our my development to then play against Germany. Like, so it was just, and I maximized myself so much. But at 25, when they started, like, and I didn't ever do gym and this stuff, and then they started bringing in this gym crap and this, and I was like, listen, I'm not going to do freaking gym. Like, I haven't done gym for 25 years old. Don't expect me now to turn my whole life and do gym sessions. So it was a thing of, if I had started doing gym at 17, it would have been normal for me. But at 25, I felt like, man, I think I would be more influential in helping mold the next youth rather than me trying to maximize my potential, because really, I don't think I had the ability to play. So I had the ability, but I didn't know if I had the mind, the body to compete against those guys. So I remember Eric Quill, the North Texas coach, he would tell me, your mind and your feet are as good as a top player, but your body isn't as good as a top player. So you got to have all three to play at the top level. So I wasn't an amazing athlete. I was great with my feet. And I was great with mind. Like, I read the game and I saw steps ahead and I had a great mentality, but my body wasn't a top level player because I hadn't really truly worked on it. Like these guys. And sometimes, and I would say partly it's obviously it's my fault, but at the same time, I didn't get the development from a young kid that these now kids are getting. And now that I work with, you know, Gibraltar's national team, I see the 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds, they were more ripped and more quicker than I ever was, even at 25, because they're having all the training every day. So that's when I came back to the US, and I basically I spoke to my national team coach, Julio, and I said, hey, I think I want to retire. I think I want to finish playing. And he said, just give me one more year because I've got to replace someone to play in your position. So I did one more year, and that's when I said, you know, and that's why I stayed trying to play at Texas and all this stuff, because I needed to do another year. So I left in I played for Lincoln for like 3 more months in 2018, from August to November for the qualifiers. And then I left in November, and that's when I tried out at the tryout for North Texas in January, and that's where I met Fierro and all these guys. And I remember I was there in 2 or 3 months prior. I was playing qualifiers against, you know, some of the best guys in the world. And then February, I was there in MoneyGram at 25 degrees with 150 people trying out for this second USL team. I was like, what the heck is this? So I remember when I went there, anyway, John Gal came up to me and was like, hey, so what's your story and blah, blah. Anyway, they invited me for preseason. And that's when I did the training with them. But in my mind, I was like, when can I cap out? Because like I was done at that time of playing. So then I basically trained all the way through June, because June, I knew I was going to retire in 2019 of June. So I retired in June. And prior to that, I spoke to Eric and said, hey, I'm going to retire. Like I'm just done with this. And so then I asked, hey, can I come and join the coaching staff? So that's when I joined the coaching staff with Eric and Michelle and all those guys and Alex. And basically that was the next best 6 months of my coaching career, because I learned what it was to coach in a professional coaching staff. So I remember with Ardy and with Eric and like these guys, like they're highly professional people. And we actually won the USL League One championship in 2019. That was the first ever year. And it was, I remember, like, you know, Pepe was with us, Tanner Tesman, all these guys that now are playing in Europe. It was cool to be a part of their development, to then go overseas. And I know he's now at PSV. He's doing really well. But it was cool to like jump into the other side. But at the end of November, I basically had a decision. Because I remember speaking with, you know, Chris and all these guys, Chris Hayden, the one that runs FC Dallas. So I was saying, you know, do I stay here? Do I become an MLS next coach? Do I become part of the academy, or do I go and build my own club? And for level of play, I would have gone to MLS and next and coaching there, because they're all the top players. But I said, you know what, like, how do I measure my impact? Is my impact going to be more successful within a professional team, or is it going to be more impactful if I build my own club and build a culture of people? So I decided, like, I was fully immersed in building my own club. So I built my own club. And so from there to now, I basically have learned a lot about North Texas soccer and how it works.
Hi, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know it's just the introductions of the coaches, and it is normally not by itself, but they shared a lot of information and interesting insight into the game and their experience as a player and coaches. And I think if we keep that in mind, this intro is really interesting, and they all have an interesting story to share. And I also think if you're looking at coaches, it gives a general idea of who they are. Now, in this episode, they did share their introductions. In the next 2 episodes, it's the creation of Lincoln FC, the merging of Lincoln FC with Solar. That's the next episode 2. And the 3rd episode is the Lincoln Football Academy. And I hope you guys will listen to the next 2 episodes, because I feel like there's a lot of information in there for parents to hear and to understand what goes on behind the scenes and the goals and ambitions of coaches like Coach Anthony and Coach Hugo and Coach Ferrero, on how they and why they are doing what they're doing, if you take the time to listen. Now, this is not my normal thing in my episodes, but if you guys really do enjoy these podcasts, please start sharing them. Let the world know that I exist. I hope you guys enjoy it. Give some type of review, and the more reviews I get, the easier it is for the podcast to pop up in other services. If If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Comments, concerns, I'm here to listen. But until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.